Coppell's Western Cape Radio, CWCP, broadcasting from Worcester, South Africa.
Welcome to the Worcester Reports, a program of stories, Christian devotions, and music. Broadcast on CWCP, Coppell's Western Cape Radio.
South Africa, turn back to God. South Africa, turn back to God. South Africa, turn back to God. South Africa, turn back to God.
Welcome to CWCP Radio. My name is Tony Coppell. And the music that you've just been listening to, our introductory music, was sung by my guest today, Marius Rabbi.
Guitarist, singer, worship leader, has a CD, at least one CD that I know about that has been issued because I have a copy. He's a prayer warrior, he's a businessman, and he's lived in Worcester for a long time, and I'm here at his house in Worcester West, and we're just going to have a fun conversation. Marius, welcome to CWCP Radio.
Thank you very much, and thank you very much for having me.
Let's dive straight into something that's really, really important instead of talking small talk, because I think that you may have some interesting answers here. Talk to us about the power and effectiveness of prayer.
Well, for me personally, speaking to God is bottom line, and having an intimate relationship with Him, and when we build that relationship on a daily basis, and when we are intimate with our Father, it cultivates that atmosphere of prayer, so that we can understand His heart for our nation, for our work, for what He wants to accomplish. And out of that foundation of intimacy, we release God's kingdom so that we can establish what His heart's desires are for this season through and in our lives. So, yeah, without prayer, we cannot accomplish anything. And, that's the foundation of what I believe prayer should be and what I use as a foundation in my own life.
I probably brought that matter up at this stage of this interview because the last place that we were together was at a very early morning prayer group. Actually, it wasn't the last time. I've saw you in church since then. But at 5:45 in Dean Britt Street, we were both there with a group of three other men of prayer. And I find that a very special time. I don't know what it is about early morning to encourage prayer. Can you answer that?
Yeah, I think when we go through the day, it's our mind is so filled with all the responsibilities that the day carry that early morning our brain is a little bit more not occupied with a lot of stuff. So when we step into that place of peace and not getting busy with emotional stuff, we can connect much better in the spirit and hear God's voice and flow with Him.
Let's switch to another subject that's dear to both our hearts, music, because you have already sung on this program. you sing our theme song.
Yes.
And South Africa, come back to God.
Turn back to God, yes.
And we're very, very lucky to have that because it really fits in. So you're a musician. When did you first start taking music seriously in any way? What age were you and how did it come?
Well, the first time I was singing was about when I was 6 years old. And it's quite funny because I was, that was 1979. And I was singing By the Rivers of Babylon, but I was singing it on the toilet. So that's, I've loved music my whole life. But after I was born again in the middle 90s, we were involved in cell groups, not in church at that point in time. But we all our worship was from CDs. And and no one wanted to play the guitar. And I just said, Lord, well, if no one wants to do it, I'll put up my hand. So it's actually, I really don't see myself as very gifted in playing guitar as much as just wanting to worship and just expressing my love towards my Father and what He has done. So it's actually, there's not a lot of gifting involved, I think.
I think you're being very modest here. At what age were you able to play guitar pretty well?
Sure. I started when I was about 23 years old playing guitar. And I think, well, at least for 7-8 years I struggled through the basics of guitar and just grew from there. But at least it took me 7-8 years. What some people do in 1 year, it took me about 7 or 8 years. But I just continued. I didn't stop. I continued until I released what was in my heart.
At what stage did you start singing to your own playing, accompanying yourself? Right from the beginning?
Right from the beginning, yes. Yeah, right from the beginning.
You see, you're so lucky. You've got a nice sounding voice. Actually, I really mean that. When I first heard you, we've been involved in radio for a long time, and to the point that we were getting 2 or 3 CDs sent to us every week from all across America and Canada.
Wow.
And so I've listened to so many singers, and I can instantly decide whether I like them or not. And usually I decide on whether I like a song within the first 10 seconds.
Sure.
That's a radio guy talking, because you don't have time to listen to everything. But I liked yours right from the start.
Well, I'm humbled about that.
Is the CD that you were kind enough to give us your only CD, or have you got others?
At this point, but I would like to. It just takes me a long time to write songs. And but I would like to in future to produce more music and just continue maybe in new and other dimensions of worship. But yes, I would like to put something more out there.
Have you ever been with a particular band or group of people, or did you just get them together to make the recording?
Well, the recording was done by Johan Groenewald. He's a recording artist here in Worcester. And he added all. I actually added my voice and the guitar, and he added the rest. So I gave him the songs, and he produced an whole CD from there.
Do you think it's easier to write a song or to play a song?
Sure. it's easier to copy a song, but to write your own song, sometimes it's very easy. Sometimes it takes you 30 seconds to do a whole song, and sometimes some of my songs took 6 months to a year, 2 years to complete. So it really depends on the season and, yes, how much time you spend with the Lord and how much of that revelation you can put into that song.
Is there a particular Christian band or group or artist that you like to listen to who inspires you and who, if you just want to relax, you would put them on the CD player?
Well, if I'm doing a soaking session and I want to relax with the Lord, I put on Judy True. And that's amazing music. And Bethel is also inspires me a lot. A lot of my music is I source from there, or I feed from their music. 10 Degrees North is the one band, and there's quite a number of other bands, but Hillsongs and there's quite a number of praise and worship feel bands that I enjoy.
Okay, it's time for another very personal question. Tell us how you and God first got acquainted.
I'll keep it short.
Yes.
But when I was 6, I wanted to become a pastor. That was my first real, I don't know where it came from, but I believe it's from the Lord. But I never really pursued that. But in my growing up, I got involved with wrong friends, got involved in drugs, cocaine and marijuana and acid and a lot of stuff. And at one point in time when I was still farming, I really experienced that I had a problem and I had to get out of it. And I was praying and I was asking God, but please, I've got a problem. I need you to help me. And the Lord started speaking to me just on the basis of that He's got more for me. So I would ask God, but please, help me out of this. And all that God spoke to me was, Marius, I've got more for you. I've got more for you. That's the only sentence that God gave me. And out of that, in a period of about 2 years, the Lord got me out of drugs and out of alcohol, out of smoking, out of a lot of wrong relationships, and He established my foundation. And in that period, I don't know exactly where it is, I became born again, got Spirit-filled, and from there on, I've been serving the Lord faithfully ever since, and just enjoying His love and His mercy on my life.
Have you ever thought again about becoming a pastor?
Every time I move towards becoming a pastor, I feel I feel a lot of resistance. So there's, I don't know if that's the right direction for me, but at this point in time, I'm enjoying my work and I'm enjoying leading worship and here and then bringing a message, ministering. So I've got this two foundations or these two purposes at this point with my current work that I have and the leading of worship and being involved in ministry in church.
You're listening to CWCP, and I'm talking to Marius Rabi, who I know through our church congregation, and I'm really happy because I persuaded him to come and sit in front of the microphone today. Marius, tell us about your family and your children, your land and your children.
Oh, yes.
Let's name drop them.
Yeah. My wife, her name is Yolanda, and she's from Bloemfontein. And I was in a creative art school called Creare there in Bloemfontein. Beautiful, beautiful place. And she was actually the secretary. And one day I saw this beautiful lady walking with a dress that she was wearing to a wedding. And that's where I became persuaded to get more acquainted with her. But that is a testimony how we got married in any way. But that's a different session. And then we've got three children. My oldest one is 10 years now. His name is Yarius, and Eva is our middle daughter. She's 8. And Jason is our youngest son. He's turning 7. So yes, we've got 5.
We've talked a little bit about your ministry life and as a worship leader. Although I want to talk more about that. But you're a businessman or a business owner. I'm sure there are people who are curious like me to know, you know, where does the money come from?
Well, the business that I'm doing is just basically simple insurance. I'm selling gap cover into a market of just strengthening medical aid. So I do presentations all over the Western Cape in schools and in prisons and just helping people to strengthen their medical aid. And I'm also a shareholder in a farm just outside of Worcester where I grew up on. So that's my sources of income. But God is ultimately my source.
Well, God cares about money. He wrote plenty about it in His book, didn't He?
Yes.
Your children are being homeschooled by Yolanda.
Yes. Yeah. Yep.
How's it working out?
It's a real blessing. We started about 3 years ago. And we just wanted to spend more quality time with our children and just taking the responsibility of building into their lives from a young age. And we've just created some time and some open space where Yolanda has been. She's the main homeschooler. I'm just the principal here and there that needs to draw some lines. But she's been faithful in every day, taking time, taking the different curriculums from Footprints, maths and Afrikaans and English, and she's teaching them some little bit of Xhosa, and she's very good in this, and we've seen the development in our children and just how they develop, and we can see how God has been faithful in this whole process, even though some days it's really crazy in this house. But there's really times where we really see God's hand and his faithfulness in homeschooling our children.
Just going back to music for a second, in church on Sunday, you were the worship leader. There are several worship leaders in Worcester Christian Church.
Yes.
Tell us a little bit about the joys of leading the worship.
I think to be able to have an audience of one. Sometimes it feels like when you stand in front that you sense God's presence before the congregation does. And just to be in that atmosphere of God's presence makes it the joys. That's the whole focus for me, is to be in that atmosphere of God's presence. And as a worship leader, I've got the privilege of selecting the songs. of selecting the songs and then just flowing in that. And to see the band members, when we were leading worship 2 Sundays ago, one of the ladies, she was struggling in one of the areas. And we were ministering to her, and on the Sunday, she just took that song with so much boldness, and there was so much breakthrough. And when I sense someone is breaking through with the Lord in worship and just presenting and just getting it out there, it just makes it worth so much worth the while. It's actually more rewarding by a long mile to see how the band develops as well in their worship. That's also a big thing for me leading worship.
All right, let's get on to politics. Not really, but I'm interested in your opinion about this. Is South Africa a Christian country? I know what the statistics are.
Now, I think South Africa is a religious country. There's a big difference between religion and having a relationship with Jesus Christ. And the one is based on a lot of law, a lot of rule, a lot of understanding. And the other one is built purely on the revelation of what Christ has done on the cross and your relationship on a day-to-day, minute-to-minute, second-to-second, walking out of that purpose and fullness and what he has called us for. It's not about law anymore. It's about understanding his grace and how much Christ has done. When we understand the fullness of the cross, when we take that scripture that says that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us, that it's not based on our performance, but it is based on purely what he has done for us. And when we put our faith in what Christ has done, when we are born again, we step out into a new dimension. We step out where we're not living out of our soul dimension that much anymore, but we renew our mind to what Christ has done in our spirit man, because primarily we first of all spirit, because God is spirit. And I think in South Africa, there's been a big tendency where there's been a big focus on the religious side, the law, do this, do that, and not out of that relationship. And I think in South Africa, that needs to change if we want to make a difference in our nation.
I'm sure the listeners would like to hear some of your music, Marius. So at the end of this program, around 9 o'clock, I'm going to play at least half of your CD, The Time Has Come. So keep it locked to CWCP. One more question for you. If you suddenly find yourself with a completely free day, no appointments, nothing that you have to work at, and you can just do something that
that you enjoy, you really get a pleasure of enjoying, selfish enjoyment, if you like, what would it be?
Oh, I've got a big love for the outdoors, so I will on a regular basis try to get into the veld, just walk and go into the veld and just spend time in nature. I think nature is one of the biggest blessings that I've received, and yeah, where I can just enjoy and just feel free and just feel close to God.
My guest today has been Marius Rabi, and I'm very grateful for him opening up his heart and his brain to us. It's been a joy for me, and I'm sure that everybody hearing this will feel that this man is a very warm-hearted person, and I'm so privileged to actually be with him right now. Thank you, Marius.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure.
I worship you.
Julie True, one of Marius's favorites, with Worship You from her album Breathe You In. This is ideal music for soaking prayer. And this Sunday at 6 p.m. to 7:30, Lorianne and I will be hosting an opportunity for you to engage in soaking prayer right here in our house, listening to the voice of God speaking to us. Anybody listening is most welcome to come. Our address is Fulahirchen 48 in the Retirement Village. This is an initiative of the Worcester Christian Church Soaking Prayer in Action Group. And while I'm making announcements, we will not be broadcasting next Thursday. We are going on a short vacation to Eastern Cape, but we'll be back on air on the 5th of July, and we hope you'll be listening to us then.
CWCP, Koppel's Western Cape Radio. I'm L.A. Koppel. We've had a lot of rain this past week, but storms and rainbows too. We were caught in the rain a few times, especially on the way back from the Cape Town airport to Worcester. The Huguenot Tunnel was closed, so we went over the Detoitskloof Pass in the cloud. One of the things I really loved was all the waterfalls coming down from the Drakenstein Mountains. So beautiful. We'll feature two other songs today. We'll start off with Sun and then get to the storms. Here's the Beatles with Here Comes the Sun on CWCP, Koppel's Western Cape Radio.
Here comes the sun, here comes the sun, I say, it's all right.
Clouds will form a crown, circling the rocky mountaintop, telling us the rain is coming soon as we sail the river up and down. The Storm King has borne the seasons all, worn them up on his brow. He guides the watchful boats below. I am the Storm King now. He is bemused, sometimes delighted, sees the trains, the hikers on the hill. In our progress and our industry, may we grow better still. The Storm King has seen us from above, rising up on the starboard bow. He knows the turning of the years. I am the Storm King now. The Storm King has borne the seasons all, worn them up on his brow. He guides the watchful boats below. I am the Storm King now. I am the Storm King now.
CWCP, Koppel's Western Cape Radio. I'm L.A. Koppel. We just heard Dar Williams, one of our favorite folk artists. She's not Christian, but she sure has the voice of an angel. She was singing Storm King, which is indicative of many storms that suddenly arrive on the horizon. I can think of many a time when the weather app says it's sunny, but then we have a sudden rain shower. I'm not complaining, though. We need the rain. And we love the rainbows that come after the storm. We also heard the Beatles with Here Comes the Sun. I really enjoy the South African sun. It can make the cool temperatures seem almost like spring. And it's always nice to have a bit of both sun and rain. And together, it makes the crops grow. The song Here Comes the Sun also reminds me of waiting at bus stops in Toronto, Canada. I regularly change the words from the sun to the bus, because the bus was often late. And when it came, I could finally go places. Worcester doesn't have this luxury, but there are taxi buses and rides from friends. Tony's become a driver of many in our 14-year-old car. I call this car Maurice. Maurice has become a symbol of love and comfort to quite a few people here in Worcester. But it's a wide car, so I still need to practice when I drive it. May you enjoy your travels today, no matter what route or vehicle you take, even if it's your feet.
Koppel's Western Cape Radio, CWCP, broadcasting from Worcester, South Africa.
Tony and I are Canadian missionaries in South Africa. We have learned through our African friends in different countries how to slow down and be relational. This is something all of us in fast-paced countries need to learn. So come along with me and we'll learn together on the adventures of growing in God. Growing in God, suffering and joy. My name is Lorianne, and I'm a missionary. During my mission travels, I've ministered with people in Northern Ireland, Pakistan, Canada, and the USA. I've also ministered in African countries like Kenya, Ghana, Sierra Leone, Mozambique, South Africa, and Botswana. But at this time, we live in the beautiful Western Cape of South Africa. During our last broadcast, we learned about the grace that comes to persecuted Christians. When they stand for Jesus in the midst of hard times, they begin to shine. Difficulties in health also bring an opportunity to fully lean on God for the extra grace to live well. It's not that God brings the suffering. He didn't avoid suffering either. It's that he walks with us through it. His presence makes all the difference. There is more that helps one through difficult times. Did you know that thankfulness and gratitude are key to managing suffering? This attitude helps us in natural ways, but also gives us opportunity for God to work supernaturally in our lives while we are in the midst of difficulty. Jesus suffered for us by first receiving 39 lashes, then dying on the cross, so he is no stranger to pain. Hebrews 12 verse 2 says that he endured the pain because of the joy waiting for him. Part of Jesus' joy was for us to come to know God through him. Jesus didn't bemoan his situation. When we refuse to think negatively in the midst of difficulties, our hearts are ready to receive the help that we need. We need supernatural help to get through situations that look impossible. God gives us His grace. In the midst of the storm, that grace can even bring a peculiar joy. When I originally wrote last week's teaching on suffering, I only partly understood what it really means. My understanding was incomplete, even though I had met Christians who had suffered greatly in northern Kenya, Pakistan, Sierra Leone, and Northern Ireland. I understood key aspects of successfully living through suffering. My teaching suggested that most of these keys included attitude, gaining a refined identity as children of God. It included ministering comfort towards others, humility, and realizing that God will somehow make sense out of all the suffering. Through these things, the Holy Spirit develops in us deep perseverance, strength of character, and hope. All of this is true. Scripture implores us over and over again to not give up in the face of difficulty. Yet I still didn't really understand the paradox of joy and suffering. I have been pondering this issue of suffering for years. Many people feel this way, which is why it's the number one topic in Nikki Gumbel's book, Searching Issues. The first time I had really thought about this paradox was while listening to a sermon. I had just returned from my first mission trip to Kenya in 1993. I attended an evening service in Toronto with a friend who had journeyed with me through some of my own difficulties. My then pastor, Dale, had preached on Hebrews 12 verses 1 to 3. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. Most people would have focused on the great cloud of witnesses, or cheerleaders in heaven, or perhaps would remember the encouragement to run our race with perseverance and not lose heart. That means to not give up. Never, never give up. I've given up too early many times in the past, yet that wasn't what drew me in the verse. Instead, I was drawn to the phrase, "For the joy set before him, he endured the cross." Joy? In the cross? In suffering? This didn't make any sense to me. I also had heard of persecuted Christians who showed joy at surprising times, but I wasn't ready to read their stories. I was afraid to hear their stories, but I needed to read them. I remember going up for prayer to Dale's wife, Linda. I asked her that I may understand what joy and suffering meant. I wanted to understand joy in the context of the cross, but I don't think she understood what I really wanted. But she did pray, albeit with a perplexed look on her face. When I studied in Tyndale Seminary, I took a New Testament course called Prison Epistles. These are the books Philippians, Colossians, Ephesians, and Philemon. The Apostle Paul wrote these letters while he was under house arrest in Rome. I remember learning that Paul wrote about joy often in his letter to the Philippians. It's known as the Book of Joy. Joy, or rejoicing, is mentioned 16 times in this letter. Yet this is the same apostle who endured so many persecutions. If you want reading homework, check out the book of 2 Corinthians. Paul was no wimp. He suffered out of love to reach as many people as he could. Yet in that time, God gave him the grace of joy. I remember I had a brief flash of insight when I was writing the final exam in the Prison Epistles course. It was about the paradox of suffering and joy, and I believed that Paul's statement of being content in all circumstances was the key. I still sought the core of that inner contentment. What was it? What came to me was a very small but bright intuitive flash. The center of that joy and that contentment was trust, pure and deep trust in God no matter what. Since I was still working on that part of my life, I didn't get to expand on my discovery. Paul's contentment is made plain in Philippians 4 verses 10 to 14 in the Message version. I'm glad in God, far happier than you would ever guess, happy that you're again showing such strong concern for me. Not that you ever quit praying and thinking about me, you just had no chance to show it. Actually, I don't have a sense of needing anything personally. I've learned by now to be quite content whatever my circumstances. I'm just as happy with little as with much as with little. I found the recipe for being happy, whether full or hungry, hands full or hands empty. Whatever I have, wherever I am, I can make it through anything in the one who makes me who I am. I don't mean that your help didn't mean a lot to me. It did. It was a beautiful thing that you came alongside me in my troubles. That same trust is what I saw in the eyes of the people in Shantinagar, Pakistan. I remember seeing them as glowing, shining stars for Christ. They were humble, loving, and full of radiant love. I saw the same attitude in the eyes of Mama Heidi Baker. She is an apostle of radical love. She and her husband head up Iris Global, a huge movement of missions, mercy, and radical lovers. This is the same organization that Tony and I represent in Worcester, South Africa. Heidi approached me once in a women's conference and gave me roses. I remember the deep love of Jesus that poured out of her. Here is one person who so completely loves and trusts God that she never says no to him. She laughs out of joy simply because she is so filled with the grace of the Holy Spirit. Heidi's husband Roland is just as amazing as his wife. I got to meet Roland while at an Iris conference hosted by Iris Virginia in Richmond and Williamsburg. I began my relationship with his community in June 2014. Since then, I continue to correspond, visit, pray with, and minister with these folks as much as I can, whether in Virginia, Mozambique, or here in South Africa. The church's pastor, Brian Britton, has become a papa to me. He's always full of encouragement and love. At this point, I have visited 6 times, and we plan to return as part of a home visit to North America in June 2019, if it works out. This is one of my special places to receive from God. My second Virginia visit was for the Iris Conference. I was given the opportunity to receive more than I expected. Heidi declared on the first night that some people needed to receive God's joy so they could give the gospel more effectively. There was an invitation to these folks on the stage. I didn't quite walk into that crowd, but I stood near them. I should have been closer. I was often sad, and I was still grieving the loss of my only full-time job that I ever had. I still missed the Nelson, British Columbia community that I had come to love while I was working there less than a year earlier. I had given my loss to God, but I didn't yet have the deep joy and trust to overcome my loss. Heidi asked for Roland to pray for all who were depressed. Many wept deeply. Sometime during that evening, someone had prayed for me and I collapsed onto the carpet. I spent a long time on that floor. I cried almost as much as the poor people on the stage. The next night, I stood with my new friend Ryan between the Iris book table and a pole in the church lobby. Ryan was a philosophy student at Boston University and is brilliant, as Roland himself is. While Ryan and I discussed and debated, Roland tried to touch us many times on the arm or shoulder. He was deeply filled by Holy Spirit and wanted to share with us. Roland giggled and had a mischievous glint in his eye. Sure enough, Ryan and I laughed and giggled as Roland prayed for us. I hugged a supporting pole in the church lobby and didn't want to fall on the floor. There was no carpet, this was hard tile, and it's also difficult for me to get up. But it didn't matter. Roland was relentless and we received, although we did not fall down. The next evening, the crowd was smaller because Heidi had already left for a conference far away from Richmond. But Roland and Mel Terry were still there. I was able to actually say hello to Roland, and when I asked him how he was, he said, "Hi, I've come looking for a revival. Have I come to the right place?" Surely he must have been joking, but I prayed for him anyway. What a privilege. I was to get the same honor of praying for Heidi only 4 months later in Toronto. That night, holy laughter broke out in the meeting between the worship time and the sermon. Roland didn't want to wait for ministry. He thought it would be a good time to change the usual format of the service. He invited people up to the front to receive right then. He jokingly called himself Dr. Teehee, for he really does have a Doctor of Ministry degree, as Heidi has a PhD. I ran up and stood right in front of him, so I ended up being one of the first hit. And I mean hit. Roland thrust his microphone softly into my stomach and down I went. It took me ages to get up later, so I sat at his feet while he talked. While I was on the floor, the rest of my sadness poured out. I was at peace. You would think that Roland would then speak on the theological nature of joy or of God's love, but no, he didn't. He gave a sermon of pure gold. He spoke on holiness and sin. He spoke on what we desperately need in the church, repentance, and of all that keeps us from leading a holy life. Perhaps we were able to hear Roland more clearly because we'd already received ministry. Yet through it, I remember Roland's words when he was praying for people earlier. He said that the joy was necessary as God was preparing us to die. What did Roland mean by that? Death of self? Maybe. Many times our own selfish nature gets in the way. Or perhaps he meant the inevitable suffering that comes in ministry when you're an outspoken Christian. At the time, I had a sense that's what he meant. Later at Harvest School, we learned that Roland was indeed talking about persecution, not just the deep resistance in communist and Islamic lands. Although the misunderstandings and backtalk can also happen anywhere, including the church. The following day, I asked Mel Terry to pray over me so I would become fearless. He smiled and said, "I would like to pray for you to come into your destiny instead." And so Mel did pray that way. By the end of the conference and weeks afterward, I had a lasting taste of what the Old Testament prophet called the joy of the Lord. It really is about trust, that childlike trust that is intermingled with contentment. It is deeper than a feeling, but it includes emotion. It is love, trust, and joy that is not connected to circumstances. Happiness is connected to circumstances. Joy is not. I finally began to understand joy. I guess that meant that I was now prepared for suffering. Back in 2014, I began a process that was to prepare me for being a missionary in South Africa. It was confusing and difficult. I had to learn to live on no personal income of my own. I became a very hard-working volunteer in pastoral care, outreach, and media at one of my Ottawa church's Kingdom Culture Ministries. But it was all good because it prepared me to be a voluntary missionary for IRIS. We raise our own faith-based funds. That requires trust. That requires joy and thankfulness. And yes, sometimes there is suffering involved, but it's all been good. When Tony and I prepared for our harvest school 2 years later, we read a book on suffering and joy that I could not put down. I stayed up all night reading it. Tony had a similar reaction, but he went a step further. He bought multiple copies and passed them out to people saying, "You've got to read this." This special book is none other than Sopresa Sitole's book, Surprise in the Night. Sopresa is a major leader in IRIS Africa and runs a base in White River here in South Africa. Sopresa has an amazing way of seeing all of life through joy, despite the tremendous suffering he has endured. He can have a good day every day. Roland shares in his doctoral dissertation the five values of IRIS, which also includes suffering and joy. These are that God can be found, we can depend on miracles, we go to the least of these, we are willing to suffer for the gospel, and that we are to rejoice in the Lord. He ties the last two values together when he says, "The joy of the Lord is not optional, for it far outweighs our suffering. When Jesus, it becomes our motivation, reward, and spiritual weapon. In his presence is fullness of joy, and with Paul, we can testify that in all our troubles, our joy knows no bounds. It is our strength and energy without which we die." Extreme dependence on God puts us in a good place, because then God gives us the grace and the joy we need as we trust him. This trust isn't shaken when you're deeply suffering, especially if you're already rooted in his unshakable grace. Neither is it harmed if you're in preparation and you want to run ahead, but you know you cannot. Right then, you're stuck in the place of trusting and waiting in God. You're waiting for his hand in provision and direction. He is always the same God, but through this experience, he changes you. With this change, his glory inside you begins to shine out of you. Why do many persecuted Christians seem to smile right in the middle of such torture? Here's the answer. The glory within them leaks out. Their eyes are focused on Jesus. They become even more filled with grace, and that's what the persecutors see. These people are carried by the Holy Spirit. How does he carry them? He does it by filling them with deep and sure grace. He fills them with strange joy in the midst of horrible circumstances. Now that I understand, it's impossible to ignore. Lord Jesus, help us to learn from those of us who lead the way in shining for you. May we shine for you as much as those people who shine in persecution. May we shine while we live for Jesus. Roland's wife Heidi often shares a vision that she was given of at least 1 million needy children. Her voice clip is included in Jason Lees Jones' song, Song of the Martyr, which is on his CD, Face to Face. I highly recommend it. The children from Heidi's vision were from all nations. Jesus said to Heidi, "Go give them something to eat." But Heidi was overwhelmed. Then Jesus took a piece of his broken body and said to her, "Because I died, there will always be enough." I believe it was about more than just food and more than enough gospel message. Heidi took the piece of flesh and it turned into bread, and the bread multiplied over and over. She was also shown that she would drink the cup of suffering, but she would also drink the cup of joy. Joy is necessary to overcome. After all, it is rooted in deep trust. Lord, thank you for the journey you've taken me to understand about joy and suffering. Thank you that you endured suffering for the joy of rescuing us. If anyone listening is having that same struggle, I ask that you would give them wisdom. Give them joy in their circumstance. Fill them with your love and joy that will dry up the sadness and grief. Show them deep in their hearts that you are with them.
You never abandon us, even when the time seems dark. You never abandon us, even when the time seems dark. In Jesus' name, amen. Be blessed, my friends, and tune in again for Ways to Grow in God on Couples Western Cape Radio.
In a robe dipped with blood, you came for me, dripping with oil, you came for me.
Flesh became bread in my hands. put it next to his side, and he filled it with blood and water from his side. And he looked at me, and without words, he said, "It's a cup of suffering and joy. Will you drink it? You give them something to eat, and I know I have the cup, because he gave it to me. I know I have the flesh that turned into bread because he gave it to me. And I know there's always enough because he gave it to me. Because he died that there would be enough for every man, woman, and child to live and not die. For every single one to know the glory of his love. For every single life to be wholly given to him. For every single one to fill his house. And his house is not full and he wants it full. And I'm saying yes, and I did it again today as he showed me again. And he showed me nations, and I saw Asians, and I saw Europeans, and I saw Africans, and I saw South Americans, and he said, feed them, give them something to eat. And I just have no left. And I said, yes. And I'm weeping there, and just yes, yes, the sacrifice and the service coming from your faith. I am glad, I am glad, I am glad. As I drink the cup of suffering, I will drink the cup of joy."
And the music that Lorianne chose for Ways to Grow in God this week comes from Jason Lee Jones, The Song of the Martyr. Lorianne met him in Virginia some years ago, and he was quite heavily featured at Harvest School 24 2 years ago in Mozambique, where we did our missionary training. Please pray for him, because recently it was announced that he has throat cancer. Remember, no broadcast next Thursday, but we are back again on the 5th of July after a holiday. And now, as promised, a selection from Marius Rabi's excellent album, The Time Has Come. And I'm going to include the extended version of the title track at the end. So this is all a ruse to get you to stay listening. Lorianne and I send you our love, and we'll be thinking about you, our audience, as we take our long drive next week. God bless you all.
Stir a passion for our city. Reveal your plans within our hearts. Let us see you and reveal you as the true God over all. Our city by the power of your word, healing our city by living as a testimony of your grace, healing our city by releasing your love that you've shed abroad in our hearts, by releasing your love that you shed a broken heart.
healing rain is falling down.
Healing rain falls.
Receiving your love in our hearts. And standing up as sons of God.
Standing up as sons.
Releasing your healing in our land. Healing our city by the power of your word. Healing our city by living as a testimony of your grace. Healing our city by releasing your love that you've shed abroad in our hearts. By releasing your love that you've shed abroad in our hearts. Healing rain is falling down. Receiving your love in our hearts. Standing up as sons of God.
Standing up as sons.
Releasing your healing in our land. Healing our city by the power of your word. Healing our city by living as a testimony of your grace. Healing our city by releasing your love that you've shed abroad in our hearts. By releasing your love that you've shed abroad in our hearts. In our
net te voert om op te staan. is genoeg, je woord is waar, dit is volbracht. Dit is genoeg, je woord is waar, dit is volbracht. Wie vertrou, jy sal my onderhou, jy sal my onderhou, deur al die eeuwe hier, bly jy getrou, bly jy getrou, want jy is God.
Jy is.
Ek wag op jy, my begin en my einde, op u sal ek vertrou. U dra my deur die donker nag met net 'n woord om op te staan. Dit is genoeg, die woord is waar, dit is volbring. Dit is genoeg, die woord is waar, dit is volbring. Dit is genoeg, die woord is waar, dit is volbring. Dit is genoeg, die woord is waar, dit is volbring.
Dit is volbring.
Jesus, laat die lewe gestalte vind in my. Redder, neem my begeertes en maak my vry, te slechts deur U, dat ons ware lewe vind. Jesus, laat die waarheid elke leen en hoop vast verbreek, en rede my begeerte as om voluit vir U te leef. Dis slechts in die waarheid dat my lewe kan verander tot ewig. Dis net deur U, dis net deur U, dis net deur U wat my lewe kan verander. Ja, is die weg en die waarheid en die lewe. Ja, is die weg en die waarheid en die lewe. Vader, Abba Vader, deur die Gees roep ons uit. Ja, Vader, Abba Vader, deur die Gees roep ons uit, dis slechts deur die Gees dat ons ware seuns kan wees. Dis net deur U, dis net deur U, dis net deur U wat my lewe kan verander. Ja, is die weg en die waarheid en die lewe. Ja, is die weg en die waarheid en die lewe. Dis net deur U, dis net deur U, dis net deur U wat my lewe kan verander. Wat my lewe kan verander.
my lewe kan verander. Wat 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 my lewe kan verander.
Today. Lit up like the shining of the sun, with his hands pointing at me, bidding me come, bidding me go. So I will come before the King of Kings, and I will bow before the Lord of Lords. I do believe He's the maker of the universe. I do believe that He paid for us all. As He
drew close to me. I saw the wounds in his body for me. How could I not believe? How could I not believe? How could I not believe that he did it for me? His side, there's so much love it cannot hide. He looked me straight in the eyes and said, believe and receive. So will you come before the King of Kings, and will you bow before the Lord of Lords? Do you believe He's the maker of the universe? Do you believe that He paid for us all? How could you not believe?
How could you not believe?
How could you not believe? How could you not believe that He did it for you? That He did it for you. That He did it for you.
Ons bid vir vleesbaar, ons dra hom op aan U. Te plan met die mense by die see en al die mense wat kom kuier, dat u is salvend en dier die geest vervulling kan belief. En nou staan ons voor U met ons hande omhoog. Nou staan ons voor U met ons harte voor U troon, dat U U geest sal uitstoot. Dat U U geest sal uitstoot. Net een zwemplek nie, maar een plek wat gevul is dier die geest. Nie net een rustplek nie, maar een plek waar die vrede sal heers. Ons bid vir vleesbaar, ons dra hom op aan U. Eet die plan met die mense by die see en al die mense wat kom kuier, dat al U salve en dier die geest vervulling kan belief. nou staan ons voor U met ons hande omhoog. Nou staan ons voor U met ons harte voor U troon, dat U, U Geest sal uitstort. Dat U, U Geest sal uitstort. Nie net een swemplek nie, maar een plek wat gevul is deur U Geest. Nie net een rustplek nie, maar een plek waar U vrede sal heers. Nie net een swemplek nie, maar een plek wat gevul is deur U Geest. Nie net een rustplek nie,
nie net een rustplek nie,
maar een plek waar die vrede sal heers. Ons bid vir vlees waar, ons dra hom op aan hier. Eet een plan met die mens by die seer. En al die mense wat kom kuier, dat om ek sal vind, en deur die Gees vervulling kan beleef. Ons bid vir vleesbaar, ons bid vir vleesbaar, ons bid vir vleesbaar, ons bid vir vleesbaar,
South Africa, turn back to God. South Africa, turn back to God. South Africa, turn back to God. Turn back to God.
The time has come.
The time has come
for the church to come together. Stand up as one. We see our nation failing.
Nation.
Our people are crying for the truth. And silence will not help. But we will fly the victory flag on high. The hope of our world. So we stand with God's answer in our hand, never turning back until we see Your kingdom come. And we will fly the victory flag on high. Jesus, we declare the hope of our world.
Hope of our world.
So we stand with God's answer in our hand, never turning back until we see Your kingdom come. Let Your will be done. Let Your kingdom come. Let Your will be done.
born for a time such as this. The time has come for us to rise, speak the truth.
Father, we thank you for our nation, and we bless this nation in the name of Jesus. We declare that we are the light of the world through the revelation of Jesus Christ. We declare that no weapon formed against us and this nation shall prosper. And we condemn every tongue that rises up against us in judgment. Father, we thank you for our churches and church leaders. We pray for our church leaders that they will be relentless in pursuing your purpose and living out an uncompromising lifestyle. We pray for unity amongst our church leaders. We declare that they will find common ground to build relationship. We command the army of God in South Africa to come together. We command the dry bones to come together. We speak life over these dry bones in the name of Jesus. We release the nature and character of God over our nation. We declare an atmosphere of your presence over every person in our nation. We pray that every person will hunger and thirst for righteousness, that people will stand up in their identity in Jesus Christ, that they will take up responsibility for our nation. We pray for our political leaders, that they will have divine encounters with Holy Spirit. We pray that they will come in line with your word and with the purposes and the destiny that you have for our nation. We pray that their hearts will awake towards the living God. We cancel the plans of the enemy over this nation in the name of Jesus. We declare a blessing over every cultural group in our nation, and that we will live out our redemptive destinies. We tear down the walls of division between every cultural group and speak unity in Jesus' name. We declare our nation is anointed and that we have been appointed before the foundations of the earth, that we shall be fruitful and we will be able to stand against any attack of the enemy in the name of Jesus. We declare that our nation is predestined for greatness. We declare that our nation is not defeated. We speak life over our church. We speak life over our educational system. We speak life over the arts. We speak life over businesses. We speak life over the media. We speak life over our families. We speak life over our government. We release a blessing of revival over our nation. We declare healing, restoration, and life over the people of South Africa. We declare liberty to the captives. We declare that the blind eyes will be opened in Jesus' name. We declare breakthrough, breakthrough, breakthrough in the name of Jesus. We release this prophetic word over our nation in Jesus' name. Amen.
But we will fly the victory flag on high, and Jesus, we declare the hope of our world. So we stand with God's answer in our hand, never turning back until we see your kingdom. Let your kingdom come. Let
world.